Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today is Palm Sunday. In the simplest of terms, Palm Sunday is an occasion for reflecting on the final week of Jesus' life. It's a time for us to prepare our hearts for the agony of His passion and the joy of His resurrection. Now, with today's message, here's Pastor Luke.
Although the weather doesn't quite feel like it, today is Palm Sunday. This is the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the Jews celebrated His entrance into the city. They celebrated His presence. Today we're going to celebrate His presence in our lives as well. We're going to see that we can celebrate Jesus' presence in our past, in our present, and in our future. We're going to look at a few different passages as we celebrate God's presence together. Would you pray with me, and then we're going to look into God's word together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do celebrate your presence. Lord, as we think of Palm Sunday and the joyful celebration that Jerusalem was in an uproar, and people that weren't celebrating were wondering, what in the world is going on? Lord, they were celebrating the presence of Jesus. God, I pray that we too today would celebrate the presence of Jesus in our own lives. And God, we will give you all the praise and all the thanks and all the glory and all the honor for speaking to us today, for changing us. God, help us to leave here different because we've met with you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This might be a little bit unconventional, maybe not so unconventional, but I typically, especially like on Palm Sunday, we'll say, hey, let's look at the story of Palm Sunday and let's unpack it and let's do that. And I've done that actually several times here. I think I've preached in the Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem is recorded in all four Gospels. And I think I've covered each one of those in sermons in the past. But today I was thinking of the topic of celebrating Jesus' presence. And so we're going to be looking at that topic. And we're going to cover in a moment the story of the triumphal entry briefly. But we're starting in John chapter 1 in verses 43 through 50. And this might be a less than familiar story. This isn't considered one of the great Bible stories, right? We talk about David and Goliath and, you know, those types of, you know, Noah's Ark and all those things. We don't often talk about Jesus and Nathanael. Do you know that story about Jesus and Nathanael? It's not as well known. I'm just going to read these verses in verses 43, and we'll read down through 50. It says, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, and by the way, he was in the process, Jesus was, of calling the disciples. So he found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And then it says here in 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because that was a small town, right? And the bigger city people tend to look down on the little town folk back in that day. We don't do that today, right? So he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then Philip said to him, come and see. Now look at this in verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael was perplexed by that. He said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. then I like Jesus' response. He answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." It's a pretty interesting story, and we're not going to unpack it completely. We're going to emphasize a few things. But some might say, well, Jesus just happened to be walking by where Philip encountered Nathanael earlier, and so it was no supernatural thing that Jesus said to Nathanael, "I saw you under the fig tree." We know that that's inaccurate based on Nathanael's response, by the way. The Bible, most of the time, interprets itself if we just read it, okay? But here's what I want to highlight, just a few things. Notice in verse 46, that Nathanael did not yet know Jesus. Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Nathanael did not yet know Jesus. There was a time in our lives, in each and every one of our lives, where we did not yet know Jesus. Are you with me? Give me a head nod. All right? And for you and for me, maybe that time was different. Maybe you came to know Jesus personally when you were young, like me. I was a whopping 5 years old when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And I said, "I want to know Jesus personally." And I've been struggling ever since to walk with him. But maybe there's somebody here that doesn't yet know Jesus. And maybe you're still exploring this and you're saying, "Well, maybe that's me. What does that mean to know Jesus?" At some point, everybody in this room, whether it's now and you do not yet know Jesus, or whether it was several years ago in your past, every one of us was like Nathanael in that we did not yet know Jesus. And then verse 47, Jesus reveals his knowledge of Nathanael's character when he says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." He says, "I know you. I know you, even though you don't know me." Nathanael questioned him and said, "How do you know me?" In verse 48, and then Jesus reveals that he was with Nathanael, even though Nathanael didn't realize it. He says, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Now, Jesus could have said anything. He is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. He is omnipresent because he's God. That means he is everywhere present. So he could have called to another time or whatever. But I think he was using this particular time because he's also ratifying and verifying what Philip said, and even just saying, "Listen, I know everything about you. I know you. I know your heart." And he was like, "You know my heart?" And so then he gave him some tangible evidence. I think Philip came to Nathanael and they were all alone and they knew no one else was around. And so when Nathanael comes to Jesus and Jesus says, "Hey, I know something about your character. I know you on the inside." And he's like, "Whoa, how do you know me? Maybe you heard about me." And he says, "No, I saw you. I was with you underneath the fig tree." What was the significance of that? At first glance, maybe not so much until you see Nathanael's response where he was like, "Oh my goodness, he knows me. He was with me, even when I didn't realize it." This story came to my mind because I was thinking about Palm Sunday and celebrating the presence of Jesus. And I'm like, you know what? I try to celebrate the presence of Jesus. But when I look back in my life, even before I was 5 years old, and since I was 5 years old, in my past, on my journey, in my life, I can look back now, even though at the time I may not have realized that Jesus was with me. I wasn't under a fig tree per se, but maybe I was in danger, maybe I was sick. What is it for you? In your past, before you knew Jesus, or even when you knew Jesus, but in your past, in your story, there was a time where you maybe didn't feel or even realize the presence of Jesus in your life, but looking back, you can say, "Wow, I see the evidence now," right? I see the evidence now when I look back that Jesus was with me. He was present with me. So we don't have to know Jesus for him to be with us. We don't even have to realize that he's with us for him to be with us, right? So we can celebrate Jesus' presence in our past. And now turn with me to Mark chapter 11. Just back a few pages. Mark chapter 11. So we may not realize that Jesus was with us in our past, but he is with us. And in the present, we may not always know Jesus' plan, but he is with us. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to read this story because this is what this day is all about. This is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" say, "The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately."'" And I've unpacked this before, but can you imagine somebody just coming up, taking your property, and you being like, and it's not, it wasn't calm, like, "Oh, what are you doing stealing my truck?" "Oh, well, the Lord has need of it." "Okay, go ahead." It's fascinating. Verse 4 continues, "And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them that Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" Here's what I want to emphasize. They celebrated, in verse 9, they celebrated the presence of Jesus. It says, "And those who went before and those who followed were shouting." So they were walking before him. They were laying down their clothes and palm branches and other branches in the road. And they were kind of swarming him. It was just this parade before him and around him and behind him. And they were all shouting. And they were celebrating Jesus. The presence of Jesus. He is here. He is here. Now, what is significant about that? To me, here's what I want to point out. They did not know Jesus' plan. They did not know Jesus' plan. They had an expectation of Jesus' plan that he would set up his kingdom. Look at verse 10. They're shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," verse 9, and then verse 10. "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." They were pumped about Jesus' presence. They're like, "Jesus is here." Unfortunately, they were excited about the presence of Jesus, but they attached their expected outcome of what his presence would mean. Are you with me? So they're like, "Yay, Jesus is here. Yay, he's going to save us from the political oppression of the Romans. Yay, the new king is going to set up his kingdom, and he is going to rule, and we are going to be free. And our political and spiritual and economic oppression is going to be lifted. Yay!" In America, we don't need to get all political, right? And you know me, I don't push politics from the stage, right? But whether you're independent or Republican or Democrat, everyone thinks that if we just do my plan, and the Christians are like, "Oh, no, we need God, but I know what God wants for our country," right? And sometimes we even, I dare say, and we should fight for religious liberty. Can I get an amen for that? Okay, we need to fight for that. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't push our agenda in the name of God's agenda. Can I get an amen to that? So they were celebrating the presence of Jesus, even though they didn't understand his plan. The Jews were in difficult circumstances. Jesus didn't fix their political or practical problems. Did you know that? Yes, he healed some people and he took care of them and met some physical needs and he fed the 5,000 and all those things. Yes, he did do some. But Jesus didn't come to free them from their political situation. He didn't come to free them from their financial situation and paying steep taxes to the Roman Empire. But he was with them. So they may have been wrong in the fact that they didn't understand his plan, but were they wrong in celebrating his presence? No, they were right to celebrate his presence. And so I'm thinking, maybe there's an application for us. Do we celebrate only when Jesus fixes things in our lives that we want him to fix? Do we celebrate, hey, I want to praise the Lord because I had this problem and now the problem is no more? And by the way, I'm not saying that we shouldn't praise the Lord when that happens, okay? We should, because God does answer prayer and he does take care of us, right? However, do we celebrate the presence of God, the presence of Jesus in our lives, even when we're confused? Even when we don't understand what his plan is, even if we don't think that he is doing what we thought he's supposed to do? And I say, wow, Lord, help us. Help us to say, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I want to celebrate the presence of Jesus, period, with no attachment of what I think that is supposed to produce in my life. Are you with me? Does that make sense? I don't know about you, but I'm really convicted by that. And I'm like, whoa, I am such an American Christian. I'm like, I love the presence of Jesus because he does this for me and this for me and this for me, and I call it blessings, right? And I'm just like, oh, wait a minute. You go spend some time in these other countries, these poor countries, or even in America, get connected with people that are poor in America. Are there poor people in America? Yes, there are. There are people in need. There are children that are abandoned. There's a sad situation with all the kids in our foster system, right? Do you think people that are truly in need can celebrate the presence of Jesus? Yes. Yes. Being in Haiti right after the hurricane a few years back and talking with pastors and with Christians and just lay people that lived on their garden and on their two goats that they had to breed and sell goats and to sell the milk. They had nothing. The hurricane wiped away their gardens and their goats died. They were still praising the Lord. It was hard. But they're like, you know what? I'm thankful for God's protection. As one pastor described them being huddled in one of the few buildings that hadn't had a wall cave in. They were in their church and the roof got ripped off while they were in the church. And one wall fell down and they thought the other cinder block wall was going to fall on them. And so they walked outside in a hurricane, people. And there was a little other building, and they had the elderly people and the women and children all get in to this building, and everybody else was mostly outside. And there was no door on this little building, and there were, Pastor Eric, he said, there were four of our strong men holding a tarp, trying to keep, you know, some sort of, you know, coverage over, because there was no roof on this little, it was just four walls and a door and a window. And he says the wind would rush into that little building and it would catch that tarp and it would lift all four of those guys off the ground. And then they would fall back down. And he says, and I just want to thank God for his presence and his hand of protection, because he was with us. God help me. help me to not equate the presence of God with material or situational blessings, but to say, you know what? I want to celebrate the presence of Jesus when my situation is good or when my situation, humanly speaking, is not so good. We can celebrate Jesus' presence today. Can we not? Then turn with me to Matthew. We're backing up a few more pages. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. You may have heard these verses before. So we may not realize that Jesus was with us in our past before we knew him, but he was with us. We don't always know Jesus' plan in the present, but he is with us in the present. And also, we are promised his presence in the future. Matthew 28, 19, or actually we'll cover 18 as well. Let me get to the right page. Starting in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" We all know this passage, don't we? We're like, hey, we know this. This is the Great Commission. And we all do this every single day of our lives, right? We're making disciples because that's what we do. We try, right? And this is the great commission. This is what we're commissioned to do as being a part of God's army and his family. But let's notice a few things. First of all, and these are pretty obvious, but there's a connection here that I think that we oftentimes miss. In verse 18, it says that Jesus has all authority and power. Can we get a head nod if you agree with that? Okay, so Jesus has all authority and power. He demonstrated that to Nathanael by revealing part of his character and then saying, "I was with you and I saw you under the tree." And he has, hopefully, you've experienced that, where, you know what, I have felt the presence of God and I have felt his power and I believe that. So he has all authority and all power. But look at this in the next verse. He says, go. There's the commission. He commands us to go. But he says, therefore. And we all know that when you see the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for, right? And so if you just start at 19 and it says, go therefore, well, that you have to say, well, why that's a reaction to something. So he says, I have all authority and power, therefore you go. So far, that doesn't make sense. Think about it. There's a missing element, and this isn't rocket science. But think about it. If Jesus were here right now, and this command is for us today, so we could just read this and say this is for us. Jesus is saying, listen, Open Door Church, I, Jesus, I have all authority, I have all power. So here's what I want you to do because I have all the power. I want you to go and do. Are you super confident to go and do? Do you have what it takes to go and do? I don't. I would be like, oh, well, Jesus, okay, let me get this straight. You have all the power. I don't. So I'm supposed to go and do something with my lack of all your power, right? Do you see that? If it stopped right there, that'd be pretty, pretty frustrating, wouldn't it? There are times that I've asked my kids to do difficult things. Have you ever asked your children to do difficult things? Maybe you're here and you don't have children. Have your parents ever asked you to do difficult things? And my kids will say, but I, and then they use the C word, can't. And then I say, you need to try. You need to try. But then you know what I say? Or what I'm thinking, and I want them to try, and I want them to go and do. But Dad, I can't lift it. I think you can. But then there's one powerful element from a parent to a child. I am here for you. You may not have the power to lift that or to do that. Sometimes our kids don't even have the willpower to clean up their socks and underwear, but we're here for them. We can see them through that difficult time. But think about this. Jesus said, I have all authority. I have the power. You go, therefore, because of my power, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Do this big, awesome, super important job. And I want you to go based on my power. Don't miss this connection. And behold, listen up. This is important. I am with you always. And he doesn't say to the end of your life. This is beautiful. He doesn't say to the apostles, to the disciples, I'm going to be with you until the end of your life. You know why he doesn't say that, in my opinion? Because he wasn't just talking to the disciples, to the apostles. He knew that he and the Holy Spirit and God, all in one, they were going to inspire Matthew to write this, not for the apostles' benefit because they heard it straight from Jesus, but for your and my benefit. And so Jesus says, listen, I still have all the power, and I still, therefore, because of my power, want you to go and do this job that is way too big for you. How is it possible? Behold, I am with you. Not just to the end of your life, but to the end of the age. To the end of this world. You know what? God was with our parents. God is with us in our generation. God's going to be with our children. Can I get a head nod? Are we seeing that? It's to the end of the age. Here's a question. What would we go and do for Jesus if we had all authority and power? Pretending that that amount of power didn't go to our heads, which it would because we're human. So if we're going to be really practical, we'd be like, well, we would screw up the whole world. Haven't you seen the movie Bruce Almighty, right? And I don't even think I've seen that whole thing, but he gets some godlike powers and messes everything up, right? But if our hearts would stay pure, what would we go and do for Jesus if we had all authority and power? I think we would do a lot. We would be more bold. We would be more loving. We would be more patient, more forgiving, more gracious, more excited. We would not hesitate. But we don't have all authority and power, do we? So here's a better question. What would we go and do for Jesus if we knew he was with us every step of the way? That's where I have to hang my head and say, oh. You see, because I know that Jesus is with me, but I forget that. I do. I forget it. I don't live every day like my Heavenly Father is walking with me, holding my hand, maybe putting his arm around me, whatever you want to imagine. Sometimes he clears everything out of my path. Sometimes he lets me trip and fall. Sometimes he lets me come up to an obstacle and say, hey, child of mine, Luke, I want you to figure this out. But Dad, Heavenly Father, I don't have the strength. I know, but I'm with you. Don't run away. You can do it. And you know what? Sometimes you can't do it. But I want you to try, so then you realize you can't. So then you look to me and say, Father, help. Did you think about that? Maybe sometimes God puts obstacles in our way so that we will fail, so that we have to look to him, so that we can be reminded that he is with us? Woo! Now we're getting a little too deep, aren't we? What would we go and do for Jesus if we knew he was with us every step of the way? We can celebrate Jesus' presence in our past, in our present and in our future. I want to close with this poem. I don't read a lot of poetry, but I came across this and I thought it was really good, called Live in God's Presence. And then I want to read one last verse from Psalm 16. The poem says this: Live in God's presence, experience His blessings, the great joy of knowing He's by your side, His grace amazing and peace fascinating, His love so high, so deep, so wide. Live in God's presence, experience His friendship, the sweet fellowship offered by His Spirit, His hand to keep and hold you lest you slip, His voice to cheer, to let you know you can make it. Live in God's presence, experience His mercy, His word to guide you each step of the way. Forgiveness, freedom by the blood shed on Calvary. Enter His presence the moment you begin to pray. We can live in God's presence, can't we? Each and every day. Listen to this verse. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Church, as we celebrate today, Palm Sunday, and we approach Good Friday, and I hope you take some time Friday and think about what Jesus did in being crucified for us. And then we come back next week, 9:30 breakfast and Easter service, and we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But this week, be mindful of the fact that the Jews celebrated His presence even though they didn't understand His plan. And so my prayer and desire is that this week especially, and hopefully throughout our lives, we will celebrate the presence of Jesus in our past, like Nathaniel, in our present, like the Jews did on Palm Sunday, and in our future, as Jesus promised in Matthew 18. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your presence. Thank You that we can celebrate Your presence in our past, present, and future. God, we give You all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.